All right, let's get to business. Welcome aboard. And this is one of the shows you dread doing as a radio host. You hate doing shows like this. Because if you play it one way, I think you're a delusional shill. And I think if you play it the other way, rightfully, people are going to go, why are you bleeping on my shoes? So I think there's one way for us to play this. So today, the Tigers won another meaningless baseball game because their season is over.
Javi!
They're buried. I'm ignoring you. They're buried at five games under 500. They're eight games out in the wild card. And the sweep of the Mariners could have and should have meant something. But they lost the right to that because their season got off the rails. So Rico and I talked about this. The way to play this today is the following. What is the biggest what if with this team? What is the thing that if it were different, we'd be able to take the air today while you guys are driving home from the ballpark and talk about how meaningful a sweep of the Mariners was? Or maybe they had moved into the wild card or further to wild card lead. What is the biggest what if that would have turned this all around? And I know, all smarm aside, there's not one. This isn't going to be a yell fest about, well, duh, they should have signed a bat. No, I think it's more nuanced. I think there are other options. But I struggle. I've said this to Rico. The guys know it. And I think you guys have listened to this show long enough in every iteration of it. I struggle with once team is bad and out of it, you can kindly, from a professional level, not humanity, I'm saying professionally, just die. Just lose. Lose 100 games.
Leave.
No, I'm saying just leave, die, whatever.
Like, go full White Sox?
Yeah, like I don't care anymore because you've taken away my ability to care. Don't you dare try to get it back when you're only going to hurt me in the end. So that's what I do with my football team, my baseball team, or anything in between. So what the Tigers are doing right now, you're right, kindly leave. I don't care. Yeah. And maybe they'll get within five of the wild card or six, and then it'll be back out to nine or ten.
I know.
I'm not interested.
And this kind of comes on the whole AJ disingenuous. You know, it's amazing what happens when you add one bat, and it's like, are you serious?
Right, and then the next day they have two total hits.
Right, but it's
it plays.
Are you serious? And it's like, do you know, like, if you would have just done anything, we would be playing some meaningful baseball right
now.
We'd
be doing a fired up show today.
Right.
I'd be hitting chair drops over the back of Munoz.
Right.
We'd be partying. And instead, I can't. Look, if you think we're yucking it up like the TV crew, you're out of your effing mind. That's the most disingenuous thing I've ever seen. Benetti's embarrassing himself. Bottom line, I think the what if is torque. I do. Even above my free agency stuff.
No, I'm laughing. Because we haven't talked about that.
Right. But that's think my, about if he was mostly who they thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
What if he was not 40? What if he was the 30 home run hitter? You know, a 750 OPS guy, not even 800 or 850, 750.
Mm-hmm.
And he were just here every day. And he were helping them.
Yeah.
Would they be three or four games better? A couple games out of the wild card, Rico?
I do believe that, Mike. For one, you would have another legitimate piece to your core that we're waiting on. That's no smarm, but that's just you would have a quarter of your infield locked down for the next 7 years or so. Like, you would have your first baseman. Who would drive in runs? Who would give you a pop in the bat? Somebody that you could put in the third, fourth, or fifth spot and drive in runs. Absolutely. Yes. That to me is the biggest what, like, if this guy had just been what we thought he was going to be, what we thought he was at the end of the year, yeah, I would be feeling a lot better about the progress of the core and saying, okay, we're not that far away. And yeah, I do think if he were playing that way, Mike, that's probably good for about five or six games that they could have won.
Could be injuries. You could make a case that Kerry Carpenter's injury. You could make a case that Mize's injury. You could play that game, Parker Meadows. I don't know. I just wanted to know. Because it sucks to sit here, and you can't get amped up about a team winning a few ball games because they've killed your ability to do so.
But,
and unless you're sitting there, you know, shilling it up for the 1901 club and you got tickets to move, any level-headed human being sees a team that's five under and eight out of the wild card, and you go, yeah, and what? But it sucks. We should be able to be excited today. Rico and I talked about this. This should have been a team that was able to have a winning record this year. And I don't think they're going to do that. And we never got the ability to have a real pennant chase. We didn't.
But see, and that's just it. When you think about it, we talked about, well, you know, injuries and that. The other what if is something that you could control. In the offseason, you could have went out and you could have really added something to this team.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, well, we looked at the free agent market and we really didn't see anything that we like. Really? Nothing? Nothing.
Mark Canna? Yeah. Sorry. But I'd like to know from you guys. What is the what if? Because if you think about what Rico's talking about and whether it was a free agent bat or Torque just being who he was supposed to be, they never trade Jack Flaherty. And obviously, injuries have hurt the rotation. They're doing the best they can with the bullpen days. It's going to fade. You're not going to have days like this moving forward. And it just, you feel like they hurt you twice. Because they get in this spot where they're 8-9 games out of the wild card. And then they win 4 in a row and they do it in dramatic fashion in front of like 12 people. And you're like, damn it, that ballpark should be full. This should be exciting. This is what the end of summer is supposed to be. And it's not. Mm-hmm. So what is it? What is the biggest what if with this team? You want to play that free agency card? I get it. I think Torque would probably be the one. Because it was the most in their control. They had the player, and he was so dreadful.
Yeah,
he got exiled before Harvey.
Yeah. And it was, he's going to go down, and we're going to fix it. And I was like, I don't know.
I don't think he'll ever play here again.
I didn't want to be that person. As David would say, the deflator. But
make me be the bad guy.
No. But here we go. But when
you're dreading David's drop.
But when you hear... Well, he's having problems hitting a fastball. As you like to say, uh-oh.
Yeah, hello.
I mean, okay, curveball, I get it. Off-speed pitch, okay. Slider, yeah.
You can't hit fastballs at AAA for power, for damage. I don't know. So, yeah.
You got a career thing. You may have a career in coaching.
That works, too. A little tough to do if you're not friendly to taking coaching, which some of the reports have said, but I digress. 248-539-9797. What is the biggest what if with this Tigers team? The what if that held them back from you being able to be excited today. If you are excited about this win today, I don't want to talk to you because you're a different species and you can call Bally. Call their hotline. Maybe come Jason on. Benetti will talk to you.
Let's have.
I'm not interested.
Let's have a judgment free man. They swept.
No.
In dramatic.
No,
fashion.
Because when people yuck it up about this, you actually empower the organization to continue giving you less. I won't tolerate it.
You know what?
There's a rest of the day parts. You can call those shows.
You know what, Mike? You win.
That's it. That's all. I take it personal. We haven't made the playoffs
Mike,
in 10
Mike
years.
Mike just scored the touchdown play. All right.
I just dropped the gritty. So, no, I would like to know because I wish we could be pumped up. Imagine being able to talk about a pennant chase headed as the Lions are about to start their season.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark would have looked like Jim Leland night, full, exciting, electric.
No, it's about to be full, but it's only because the Yankees are in town.
You're right. They do fill that place up.
So, yeah, it's going to be full for the weekend, but won't be your fans.
True. 248-539-9797. David, biggest what if for this team that prevents us from being excited today?
So all year, all off season, we've been hearing about the young guys and the core and building from there and finding the actual core for the team. So I'm going to go back to 2023 as my what if, and that's the trade deadline. Last year at the trade deadline, when we missed out on trading E-Rod, there could have been an individual that we got back in that deal that could have maybe in the second half of this year been up on this team possibly. That could have been maybe a part of the core, or we at least could have got that answer, and maybe they could have helped a little bit on a run starting in maybe June or May or something like that. So I'm going back to 2023 when we screwed up that trade deadline.
I mean, listen, I say it respectfully, a little bit of a reach. Considering Torque is right here, or the Matt Chapman saga, or Maeda. What about Maeda?
See, but here's the thing, and that is an offseason mistake.
I'm
there
saying,
by giving him 2 years versus Flaherty one.
And Maeda was supposed to be a stabilizing factor. So you have a guy who was horrific in April, which he usually is, but then he never settled. He never leveled out. He got hurt. Then he was so bad you had to move him to the pen. What if Maeda were the stabilizing force?
I hear you there. And the reason why I don't go with Torkelson, though, is because I'd never really believed in him. It was always a problem hitting the fastball, and that, to me, never was going to be fixed.
Okay. I want to know what the biggest what if is. Whether you're driving home from the ballpark or you're just sitting on your back porch, whatever it may be. But, yeah, I'm sorry. There's no yuck-yucks. I'm actually the type of fan, I get annoyed when teams decide to do this. Kindly leave. You better get your ass to that wedding. I don't care. They ruined our ability to be pumped up about it. What's the biggest what if? I think it's what if Torque had been what they expected him to be. Mm-hmm. How much different this all could have been. And yes, the free agency thing, it was insurance on Torque not being that. You're not wrong. There's always going to be multiple what ifs. What's the biggest one? We'll get to it next. 97.1. All right, so if you're just tuning in, Tigers win their fourth straight, which is great if it mattered. The problem is they took away the right for it to matter. So we were talking about what are the what ifs that would have changed this, that we would have been able to take the air today and been pumped up. I still think I'm with Rico on this. I think Torkelson's probably a big one. Yes, the free agency, I know. I'll never let go of that. But let's, for the sake of the fact that it was their player and he was a part of their plan and he was so bad, he found himself unemployed before Javi Baez. That's the what if. Had they had a corner infielder, middle of the order presence, 30 home run power, you know, 40 doubles, 30 bombs, call it a 750 OPS. Let's say he never took the next step and became a high caliber average hitter, but man, he was doing damage. That's the difference, I think, between being 8 games out where you can't possibly care about this or being 2 games out. I mean, are there a multitude of things? Sure, of course there are. There's always a multitude of things, but we're asking for the biggest one. You know, naturally, you could say Maeda. You could say Mize. You could say injuries in general. You could say owner did not spend.com. You can do whatever you like. But it sucks. It sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the lightning in a bottle with Flaherty that if they could have just been in the mix and been relevant, you don't have to trade him. You don't have to mortgage anything.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. David, go ahead. What is the temperature of the ticket text before we get to the callers?
This one's for you. Biggest what if for the Tigers is Wyatt Langford.
No, do not. I stayed away from that. Just leave it alone. Oh, man.
I was 100% sure that was going to be. I was one. If I would have bet on it, it's -1,000 on FanDuel. Mike was going to say Wyatt Langford.
He took the air out of my sail. Like, well, it's Spencer. Like, huh?
No.
You weren't supposed to say that. I just knew. I put it on a tee for you.
No.
That's why I didn't talk to him about this.
I left it alone. And in fairness, he's cooled down a little bit lately. So I'm just saying, no, I stayed away from it. I think there are much bigger things. I think the Langford thing becomes a thing in concert with other things. I think the bigger standalone is a guy like a Matt Chapman with a 6.5 war or Torkelson being that all-star type first base. Those are more important. It's unfair if I was like, oh yeah, why Langford? It's always been Langford and bat. Like, two of the three are a thing. Go ahead, David.
What if is keeping Carey healthy for the whole year? I believe this gets us and would have gotten us to the wild card.
No, I think that's probably a little much to say that would be a 9-game differential. Now, you want to say a couple?
Hit multiple home runs in all of his games?
Nah, I mean, he's a good hitter. He's a guy you wish he was available all year.
Yeah.
But again, had they bought some insurance, these things don't hurt you as much. So that would play to Torque free agency. Go ahead, David.
Yes, if Torkelson had been what we had hoped, and if we had another legit hitter, JD, as a DH, to hit 4 or 5, we'd be cheering for a playoff spot.
Today we'd be on the air all pumped up.
After a sweep, yes.
We'd be all, because again, let's say they were two out of the wild card, not eight. How much different do you feel? That's the point. That's the, I think that that's what we all want to do. Because the problem is you exist in a space where you can't talk about the actual game. You can't sit there and be all amped about actual baseball because they are so far out, it doesn't matter. And it's not the young core. Like, for instance, Javi Baez running into a hanging slider by Munoz, that doesn't do anything for me. Now, if it was Jace Young, if it was Dylan Dingler, it feels different. And then the next layer is it's those guys doing it while you're winning and the games matter. That's the sauce. Like, even when the Lions found themselves out of it 2 years ago, that 1-6 start was a that was awful. And you were like, man, if they don't get this turned around the next couple of weeks, are we talking about Dan Campbell not being here?
Right.
So then they catch fire. And they didn't quite get home, but you saw the bricks being laid. And technically speaking, they were playing for a playoff spot the last Sunday.
We had to
watch Seattle and the Rams, and then it was our game.
Now, when their time came for that game, they were out of it.
Yes.
But even more impressive, they didn't quit. They went out there and they play. And then the biggest question was, can you carry this over into next season? Or did you guys just rally, fall short, and it's all going to fall apart? Yeah. So, yeah, if this team were competing right now with the young guys and you start seeing some of these guys, the Henry Molloy, like, okay, well, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, there's something there for next season that I can get excited about other than opening day.
Right now, the thing you hang your hat on is Cole Keith, as a hitter, it's an all-star caliber bat. The problem is he's probably not a second baseman long-term. Now, maybe Torque being terrible opens up the ability to move Keith, and it all works out one way or the other. That's fine. But you're thin on things I can pencil in for 600 at-bats next year. You're thin on options. Again, Riley Green is a very good baseball player. He's hurt again. You know, he's missed time again. Cole Keith, very good baseball player. We got to find him a position. I'm not as worried about that. So it's just going to be one of those things. The Torque thing really sticks out, the free agency thing. And it's again, I am guilty of the following. If anyone wants to get angry, I absolutely hold it against the team when they haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. It compounds the frustration. It's not like Cardinal fans who had winning seasons 23 years in a row and still wanted Oscar Marmol fired last year. Like, that's a little bit different.
Right.
You know, like, you know, like, you're like, man, you're rough on the Yankees. Yeah, I haven't been to the World Series in 15 years. Unacceptable. Wholly unacceptable. And I do hold the Astros responsible. David, go ahead.
I love that. To hear AJ say one bat can affect so much, the what if would be one quality bat in the offseason. That is Joe in St. Clair Shores. The biggest what if for the Tigers in 2024, what if Akil Baddoo never got out of my car? That is from Will. Another one says, my thing, simply one name, Harvey Baez. When they finally did something about his awful play, half the season was gone. So what if they did it earlier?
Yeah, I mean, look, it'll be tough for short-sighted folks because he hit a home run today. But overall, yeah.
Not just a home run. What? Game-winning home run with two outs.
Yes.
In the eighth.
I
heard the excitement.
They play a guy on a daily basis that helps the other team. That's just factual.
When you broke that stat down, that's when it got really depressing. More he plays, the better the opposition can win.
Opposition says thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
Mike, never mind.
What you say?
No, it's more Wyatt Langford, so I'll leave that alone.
The people can say it. I don't have to. I can just sit here.
Jake in Pontiac. Mike, what about Wyatt Langford? Or are you done clamoring for the fifth outfielder on the team? Oh, he's being... Oh.
No. He's being
smart about it.
Yeah, he's being prideful. Okay. He's happy with Akil Baddoo in an everyday lineup. That's cool. You're right. Wyatt Langford would never have helped here. Would have made no difference.
Now, I can understand if your argument is, you know, based on what the organization has shown, that they may still have him in the minors. I could see that being an argument, but fifth outfielder?
And again, I'm fine. I hope Max Clark turns into Willie Mays, but he's 2 years away. So, great. If that's your, if you want to pound your beanbag to that, that's your business. It doesn't help us end the playoff streak. It doesn't help us right now. And it's another lost summer. So you be prideful.
Marcus in Canton says, the biggest what if for me is Kenta Maeda. Every time we went on a win streak, his turn in the rotation would ruin that streak.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong because it would go Scoobal, awesome. Flaherty, awesome. Olsen, awesome. Maeda, dead. How many turns in the rotation? What was their record with Maeda starting before he got hurt? Wasn't it like they had lost 11 of his 12 starts? It was really
right, but don't forget really it was bad. Also Olsen. Wait, what do you mean you can't score?
They couldn't score any runs for him either. Yeah,
he just threw a three hitter.
Right, but I then understand. You're making a what if about a what if because then that goes right back to him with Torque. But yes, it all plays. They could have been so much better with a couple little things. Whatever. I guess we should just be grateful that they're trying. Stop. You're all out of order right now. Stop it. Stop it. And I am going to defend Tiger fans on this. Yes, hey, he went 3 for 5 last night with a bomb.
David.
He hadn't done much in 2 weeks.
David.
Come on.
Run that back.
No, do not run that back.
That's run that back.
It's not fair.
Run that's that not, back. Come on, David. One more time.
Not fair to the people. Really?
All right. I'm done.
The point I'm making is today's not the day for that. He hadn't done much in 2 weeks. Do I still wish they had taken him instead of Max Clarke's because I want to make the playoffs this year? Yes, but here's the deal. If they had taken Langford and still not signed anyone in free agency, it wouldn't be the impact we were hoping for. They needed to take him plus sign someone. I'm just saying, don't make me rip Wyatt Langford. That's what you're making me do. You're being very unfair, Dave. What's the biggest what if for the Tigers? That instead of being able to be amped up about today, be in a pennant chase, and have meaning in what took place the last 4 days, instead we're stuck here. As Rico likes to call it, at the bottom of the chili pot. We go to Mike. He's going to lead off today. Mike, how you doing today, buddy?
Guys, what the heck is up with that Wyatt Langford clip? Can't we be playing Javi Baez with Benetti commentating him hitting the game-winning home run in the eighth? Come on now.
Yeah, if you want me to be dishonest to my audience, sure.
For a game that doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole point. What am I supposed to do? Like, it's
I know, I'm with you there, man.
They killed us.
Too many what ifs.
You just get the John Jansen, yeah!
Right. I mean, they killed us. Go ahead, Mike. What's the biggest what if?
All right. My one what if, I got to agree with you, Mike. What if Spencer Torkelson didn't turn into an absolute pumpkin? I mean, the ability to have a bat like that and how he looked in the beginning of his career versus how it turned into, that could have won us so many more of these ball games.
It would have been a stabilizing force. I agree. Rico has been on that. And as easy as the free agency thing would be, the fact is Torkelson would be number one for me because they had the player. They didn't have anything to negotiate. Mm-hmm. Chris didn't have to reach in his pockets. He was here.
Under your control for a long time.
And he was so terrible. It's just not even remotely playable.
He started the year off. He was leading the league in doubles, and then that just all fell
apart. Well, the problem is, he led the league in doubles with zero home runs. Yeah. He went 2 months without a homer. He was horrific defensively.
See, that's what I was hoping that, okay, maybe it'll be the other side where you're hitting doubles. Okay, let me correct the swing a little
Turns
bit.
Turns into power.
Correct. Yeah. It went the other way.
I know. We are aware. Yeah. And, by the way, here's the other thing. There was an expectation he could be average defensively someday. He was horrific.
Yeah.
So it was a total, that's the one that, man, I feel like you're right. If he were good, like if they were
turning
sitting.
Turning into Serrano from Major Leagues.
Hats for bats. if they were sitting 3 games out of the wild card right now, think how different we feel. I think that could have made that difference.
Three games out of the wild card, Mike, and we're doing shows like, hey, will this team make the playoffs or not? 2-4-8. Yeah, I mean, this would be a legitimate thing. Yep. But instead, it's, hey, you swept the Mariners.
After it's too late. Let's go to, all right, with the golf clap and enough with the drop, David. That's ridiculous. Let's go to Derek, who's up next, 97.1. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, love the show. I think you guys do an amazing job. I've been listening to you for a long time, and, you know, I've been wanting to call in since May, since you were burying Colt Keith when he started off so horribly. And, you know, like, you can go back and do the revisionist history, and I understand, listen, it's probably better to do a radio show when you got a winning team, and I get that. But I think really what it boils down to is this team's not ready. And even if they had gotten Chapman and they had drafted Langford, we would have been at the trade deadline, and if they didn't do anything, you would have been saying, why didn't they do anything? And I think that's really what it boils down to. Is it Scott Harris deciding and putting out the philosophy, hey, we got to wait. We got to, or is it the owner saying, I don't want to spend? And to me, that's the bigger issue. Mm-hmm. But this team needed a lot. And if you listen to Harris, basically what we're going to see next year is they'll probably pick up a couple of pitchers, and you're going to see Jace Young at third. You're going to see Torkelson at first. You're going to see Colt Keith. Maybe we get to see Sweeney.
Well, time out. Let me offer one. I want to offer one thing. I don't totally disagree with you at all, Derek. My disagreement is, okay, let's say you see Young at third. Has Young been any good at third in the minors? Yes or no?
Absolutely not. I'm just telling you what Scott Harris said.
Okay, but I don't have to like it. I want to make sure we're clear here. Like, Derek, if you like it, that's your prerogative, but I don't have to, do I?
No, certainly not. And listen, I get it. It's more compelling to either have a winning team or be negative. I guess I'm a little bit more positive. There's been some good things. Dingler came up. Colt Keith, when you buried him back in May, and you did, you were horrible.
100%, Derek, because he was worst. Hold on, stop. He was one of the worst players in baseball. What should I have said about him? If Derek is hosting afternoons, tell me what I should have said.
No, I would do exactly what you were doing. I'm just saying, like, he has turned into a real baseball
player.
He's
an all-star caliber bat. He's a terrible second baseman, but he's an all-star caliber bat.
But Derek, hold on, Derek, real quick. You do realize that you can criticize somebody when they're bad, and when they're good, you can change your opinion on them. You don't have to stick with how you felt about them. It's ever evolving.
I agree with you, Rico, but you haven't changed your opinion on Scott Harris. You basically said, hey, listen, he signed Maeda, but then you don't give him any credit for signing Flaherty. And then similarly, when they made the trades, like, they got good value for Lorenzen. They got good value for Flaherty. So,
well, I wasn't here when they traded Flaherty. So I don't know what Rico said. I was on vacation.
I was bummed out that you weren't there to make the commentary.
I'm not here. I can give you my feeling on it now. I don't know if it'll matter. I wouldn't have freaked out.
For the record, the Flaherty trade came down with 30 seconds left in the show.
Yeah, here's the deal, Derek. I can't rip it because there were some health concerns there. That's pretty clear. You guys getting epidurals multiple times. I wish they would have done more, but I don't know that what he did was horrible. I just wouldn't be doing cartwheels over it. Look, the bottom line in all this, Derek, if you're going to call up and go, well, look, here's what we're going to get next year. It's going to be Young at third, who in his first 40 games in the minors had 12 errors at third. You have a bad second baseman defensively in Keith, and Spencer Torkelson is horrific and may not play again. If you're telling me you're okay with that being the plan, cool. Not yelling at you. But you're right, it is more compelling to win. That's why we want sports. That's why we like sports. When a team refuses to deliver winning or seemingly not want to take steps to get us closer to winning, I think it's okay to be frustrated. And I'm sorry, but it's a decade without playoff baseball.
Yeah.
And did I say Keith was terrible to start the year? Yep, because he was. I don't know who in their right mind, unless you're on the team payroll, is going to do let it play out radio. But if that's your win, great. I don't really care. I mean, yes, I ripped the Maeda signing. Why? He's awful. I never knocked him for Flaherty. I have said how good this team is at finding pitching. But when you're finding pitching and always having to trade it, it means you're really bad at other things. Wrong, right?
No, you're correct. And yeah, just for the record, that came down. Literally, I had a bet with Rieger of whether the trade would go down. Yeah. And with 30 seconds to go in the show, the Tigers made the trade and we were off the air.
I just want to make sure I was unequivocal. I wasn't here. You don't know what I would have had to say. I wasn't here.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing is, people. You say, well, you said this back in April, and then things change. And we will be the first to say, hey, this turned out to be a better person than I thought. But
yeah, here's my message to Derek. It's very simple. To Derek and people like Derek, start asking your team for more. They're not doing you a favor by trotting nine people out there. They're asking for your money. They're asking for your time. They're asking for your emotion. They owe you. You don't owe them. But if you're happy with this and you want to do Silver Linings Playbook, that's cool. They'll keep taking your money and you can enjoy the cheesy puffs or whatever they're called. I want to win. I want a parade. I want to win. This doesn't work for me and it shouldn't work for you. But if it does, God bless.
Yeah, but for those are the people who they're okay with waiting for the core and we'll be patient and we've waited.
And they have a right to.
We've waited 10, 15 years.
They have a right to, but don't vilify those of us who don't agree. I want to win.
Is this your first day in this country?
David hit the Langford button.
I'm just kidding.
I'm just
trying to have a little fun.
I know.
David gets angry at me. Kenny drops his hit. Like, just having some fun, guys.
Yes, we're going NFL, but we're going betting odds for the NFL.
Oh, there is news today, but we can do that at 5 o'clock. That's fine. Go ahead.
So what we're going to do here, DraftKings has the betting odds for NFL receiving yards, but it's head-to-head.
Oh, so like a golf tournament.
Exactly. So,
oh, man, this is where you're rooting for rolled up ankles.
So we have, in this matchup, we have Justin Jefferson versus Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase.
Both are minus 110.
Chase, you've got Sam Darnold throwing passes.
That has changed since this came out,
But hold on, this is interesting. Let me back up a second. Last year, Kirk Cousins got hurt what week? Nick Mullins.
I think it was in the middle of the year, so like week 8.
So Nick Mullins takes over. What were JJ's numbers? They weren't that far off. Stop. You're all out of order right now. Stop it. Stop it. And I am going to defend Tiger fans on this. Yes, he went 3 for 5 last night with a bomb.
David.
He hadn't done much in 2 weeks.
David.
Come on.
Run that back.
No, do not run that back.
That's
not fair.
Run that back. Come on, Dave. One more time.
Not fair to the people. Really?
All right. I'm done.
The point I'm making is today's not the day for that. He hadn't done much in 2 weeks. Do I still wish they had taken him instead of Max Clarks because I want to make the playoffs this year? Yes, but here's the deal. If they had taken Langford and still not signed anyone in free agency, it wouldn't be the impact we were hoping for. They needed to take him plus sign someone. I'm just saying, don't make me rip Wyatt Langford. That's what you're making me do. You're being very unfair, David. What's the biggest what if for the Tigers? That instead of being able to be amped up about today, be in a pennant chase, and have meaning in what took place the last 4 days, instead we're stuck here. As Rico likes to call it, at the bottom of the chili pot. We go to Mike. He's going to lead off today. Mike, how you doing today, buddy?
Guys, what the heck is up with that Wyatt Langford clip? Can't we be playing Javi Baez with Benetti commentating him hitting the game-winning home run in the 8th? Come on now.
Yeah, if you want me to be dishonest to my audience, sure.
For a game that doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole point. What am I supposed to do? Like, it's
I know, I'm with you there, man.
They killed us.
Too many what ifs.
You just get the John Jansen, yeah!
Right. I mean, they killed us. Go ahead, Mike. What's the biggest what if?
All right. My one what if, I got to agree with you, Mike. What if Spencer Torkelson didn't turn into an absolute pumpkin? I mean, the ability to have a bat like that and how he looked in the beginning of his career versus how it turned into, that could have won us so many more of these ball games.
It would have been a stabilizing force. I agree. Rico has been on that. And as easy as the free agency thing would be, the fact is Torkelson would be number one for me because they had the player. They didn't have anything to negotiate. Mm-hmm. Chris didn't have to reach in his pockets. He was here.
Under your control for a long time.
And he was so terrible. It's just not even remotely playable.
He started the year off. He was leading the league in doubles, and then that just all fell apart.
Well, the problem is, he led the league in doubles with zero home runs. Yeah. He went 2 months without a homer. He was horrific defensively.
See, that's what I was hoping that, maybe it'll be the other side where you're hitting doubles. Okay, let me correct the swing a little
Turns into power.
Correct. Yeah. It went the other way.
I know. We are aware. Yeah. And, by the way, here's the other thing. There was an expectation he could be average defensively someday. He was horrific.
Yeah.
So it was a total, that's the one that, I feel like you're right. If he were good, if they were
turning
sitting
into Serrano from major leagues.
Hats for bats. If they were sitting three games out of the wild card right now, think how different we feel. I think that could have made that difference.
Three games out of the wild card, Mike, and we're doing shows like, hey, will this team make the playoffs or not? 2-4-8. Yeah, I mean, this would be a legitimate thing. Yep. But instead, it's, hey, you swept the Mariners.
After it's too late. Let's go to, with the golf clap. And enough with the drop, David. That's ridiculous. Let's go to Derek, who's up next, 97.1. What's up, Derek?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, love the show. I think you guys do an amazing job. I've been listening to you for a long time, and, I've been wanting to call in since May. Since you were burying Colt Keith when he started off so horribly. And, you can go back and do the revisionist history, and I understand, listen, it's probably better to do a radio show when you got a winning team, and I get that. But I think really what it boils down to is this team's not ready. And even if they had gotten Chapman and they had drafted Langford, we would have been at the trade deadline, and if they didn't do anything, you would have been – saying, why didn't they do anything? And I think that's really what it boils down to. Is it Scott Harris deciding and putting out the philosophy, hey, we got to wait. Or is it the owner saying, I don't want to spend? And to me, that's the bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
But this team needed a lot. And if you listen to Harris, basically what we're going to see next year is they'll probably pick up a couple of pitchers. And you're going to see Jace Young at third. You're going to see Torkelson at first. You're going to see Colt Keith. Maybe we get to see Sweeney.
Well, time out. Let me offer one. I want to offer one thing. I don't totally disagree with you at all, Derek. My disagreement is, okay, let's say you see Young at third. Has Young been any good at third in the minors? Yes or no?
Absolutely not. I'm just telling you what Scott Harris said.
Okay, but I don't have to like it. I want to make sure we're clear here. Like, Derek, if you like it, that's your prerogative, but I don't have to, do I?
No, certainly not. And listen, I get it. It's more compelling to either have a winning team or be negative. I guess I'm a little bit more positive. There's been some good things. Dingler came up. Colt Keith, when you buried him back in May, and you did, you were horrible.
100%, Derek, because he was worst. Hold on, stop. He was one of the worst players in baseball. What should I have said about him? If Derek is hosting afternoons, tell me what I should have said.
No, I would do exactly what you were doing. I'm just saying, he has turned into a real baseball
player.
He's
an all-star caliber bat. He's a terrible second baseman, but he's an all-star caliber bat.
But Derek, hold on, Derek, real quick. You do realize that you can criticize somebody when they're bad, and when they're good, you can change your opinion on them. You don't have to stick with how you felt about them. It's ever evolving.
I agree with you, Rico, but you haven't changed your opinion on Scott Harris. You basically said, hey, listen, he signed Maeda, but then you don't give him any credit for signing Flaherty. And then similarly, when they made the trades, they got good value for Lorenzen. They got good value for Flaherty. So,
I wasn't here when they traded Flaherty. So I don't know what Rico said. I was on vacation.
I was bummed out that you weren't there to make the commentary.
I'm not here. I can give you my feeling on it now. I don't know if it'll matter. I wouldn't have freaked out.
For the record, the Flaherty trade came down with 30 seconds left in the show.
Yeah, here's the deal, Derek. I can't rip it because there were some health concerns there. That's pretty clear. You guys getting epidurals multiple times. I wish they would have done more, but I don't know that what he did was horrible. I just wouldn't be doing cartwheels over it. Look, the bottom line in all this, Derek, if you're going to call up and go, well, look, here's what we're going to get next year. It's going to be Young at third. who in his first 40 games in the minors had 12 errors at third. You have the worst second, you have a bad second baseman defensively in Keith, and Spencer Torkelson is horrific and may not play again. If you're telling me you're okay with that being the plan, cool, not yelling at you. But you're right, it is more compelling to win. That's why we want sports. That's why we like sports. When a team refuses to deliver winning or seemingly not want to take steps to get us closer to winning, I think it's okay to be frustrated. And I'm sorry, but it's a decade without playoff baseball.
Yeah.
And did I say Keith was terrible to start the year? Yep, because he was. I don't know who in their right mind, unless you're on the team payroll, is going to do let it play out radio. But if that's your win, great. I don't really care. I mean, yes, I ripped the Maeda signing. Why? He's awful. I never knocked him for Flaherty. I have said how good this team is at finding pitching. But when you're finding pitching and always having to trade it, it means you're really bad at other things. Wrong? Right?
No, you're correct. And yeah, just for the record, that came down. Literally, I had a bet with Rieger of whether the trade would go down. Yeah. And with 30 seconds to go in the show, the Tigers made the trade and we were off the air.
I just want to make sure I was unequivocal. I wasn't here. You don't know what I would have had to say. I wasn't here.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing is, hey, people, you say, well, you said this back in April and then things changed. And we will be the first to say, hey, this turned out to be a better person than I thought. But
yeah, my message to Derek. It's very simple. To Derek and people like Derek, start asking your team for more. They're not doing you a favor by trotting 9 people out there. They're asking for your money. They're asking for your time. They're asking for your emotion. They owe you. You don't owe them. But if you're happy with this and you want to do Silver Linings Playbook, that's cool. They'll keep taking your money and you can enjoy the cheesy puffs or whatever they're called. I want to win. I want a parade. I want to win. This doesn't work for me and it shouldn't work for you. But if it does, God bless.
Yeah, but for those are the people who they're okay with waiting for the core and we'll be patient and we've waited.
And they have a right to.
We've waited 10, 15
years. They have a right to, but don't vilify those of us who don't agree. I want to win.
Is this your first day in this country?
David hit the Langford button.
I'm just kidding.
No.
I'm just trying to have a little fun.
I know.
David gets angry at me. Kenny drops his hit. Like, I'm just having some fun, guys.
Yes, we're going NFL, but we're going betting odds for the NFL.
Oh, there is news today, but we can do that at 5 o'clock. That's fine. Go ahead.
So what we're going to do here, DraftKings has the betting odds for NFL receiving yards, but it's head-to-head.
Oh, so like a golf tournament.
Exactly. So,
oh, man, this is where you're rooting for rolled up ankles.
So we have, in this matchup, we have Justin Jefferson versus Ja'Marr Chase. Both are minus 110.
Chase, you've got Sam Darnold throwing passes.
That has changed since this came out,
But hold on, this is interesting. Let me back up a second. Last year, Kirk Cousins got hurt what week? Nick Mullins.
I think it was in the middle of the year, so like week 8.
So Nick Mullins takes over. What were JJ's numbers? They weren't that far off, were they?
He got hurt as well, too, though. So that kind of messed his numbers up, but he was still hitting when he was playing with Mullins.
That's what I mean. So that's actually not as, you know what? These damn sports books, they're sharp. Mm. If it looks too easy, it is. Maybe you do the reverse of the reverse psychology. Mm. JJ.
No.
Okay. I tried to sell it for you.
You're still going Ja'Marr?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to sell
it. That's fair. Let's go to the next matchup.
Was there.
All right. Let's go to the next matchup here. Amon-Ra St. Brown at minus 125 versus A.J. Brown at plus 100.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Oh, God.
I feel like, Mike, ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I feel like Amon-Ra, he'll play hurt, which he proved last year. He's good for at least 1,100 yards. Philly's got a lot going on. I'm not totally so. You know what? Amon-Ra. That's my guy.
See, to me, I know we can't do push because you're thinking there's another. Each has another receiver who could potentially take away a lot of catches. I'm going to go AJ simply because the Eagles don't have a tight end that can steal receptions away from him. So that's why. It's not saying that Amon-Ra is good. It's just he's going to have fewer opportunities, I believe.
And later on, we will get to the other receiver in Philadelphia as well as the tight end in Detroit. But let's get to this matchup first. Old versus new. Marvin Harrison Jr. at minus 110. Well, they're both minus 110 versus Davante Adams.
This is okay.
You know what?
Can I just do the PSA that if you're betting these, you probably got to call the number? This is way too much stress over 18 weeks. Oh my God. Can you imagine watching the head to head? It's like a bad version of fantasy football.
I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Really?
Yes, because you know it's going to be Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray sees him as an opportunity to actually belong in the NFL and not get broomed out. Okay. They're going to throw the ball. Chances are the Cardinals are going to be down a lot, so they're going to be out there playing, you know, 707 football.
He keeps knocking them. I think the Cardinals are going to be sneaky.
No, they are.
They're going to be sneaky.
But they always seem to fall apart. And in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
it's just at
their
that point.
Their first halves last year were amazing. Yeah. And then second half, death.
Yeah. So, whereas with the Raiders, look, I do think that there's a little bit of a quarterback controversy there.
Oh, God.
And I don't believe in the Raiders offense.
Okay. All right, I'll go Marvin Harrison Jr.
Outside of Adams' first few years in the league, he got hurt in 2019. But outside of that, he hasn't had under 1,300 yards last year. So I stand corrected. Let's move on to the next matchup. Alabama versus Alabama. Jalen Waddle versus Devontae Smith.
I'll go
both at minus 110.
I'll go Slim Reaper. Waddle gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like either of these. These are unfair. I choose Texas. These are difficult, man.
Waddle or
Smith. Devontae Smith.
Smith.
That's the Slim other receiver. Reaper.
Smith.
I'm so gonna go, even yeah. though you said in the other one how you got A.J. Brown there
because
now.
Because the best ability is availability.
And then I got a root like A.J. True. Brown's knee starts barking, so he gets more targets. This is maniacal.
That is fair. Let's move over to a tight end matchup here. Sam Laporta at minus 125 versus Travis Kelce.
Laporta.
Plus 100.
Laporta is the best tight end in the NFL. Kelsey's old. He's about to be engaged to the most famous woman on the planet. Unfocused. Can't do it. Laporta.
I'm going to go Kelce.
No. He's negotiating a prenup right now. You think he has time for crossing routes?
Wait, who's negotiating the prenup? Her or him?
Both. I read the New York papers today.
They each got it.
Because
yeah.
right now she's like, oh, that's cute. You know what? You could pay the cable bill.
Hey, have your people call my people. He right. don't have time for a playbook.
You want to fit in? Okay, you could pay the cable bill and the phone bill. I'll handle the rest. That's cute, your little NFL money. This is probably how Tom Brady felt.
Taylor's giving him a WIC card.
Right. Like, here's your allowance. Go buy some beer. Go hang out with the fellas. Because they don't have receivers in Kansas City, he's going to be really the main target.
Any thought to age, though? Man, he's old.
No, because Mike, yes. If he played on an average team, yeah, but they're on a mission to show we want to keep this thing together as long as possible because when it falls apart, they're looking at the New England Patriots saying this is what Kansas City will look like in a few years.
You keep the airline, Miles. All right, go ahead.
You keep the plane.
I love these. Let me give you a couple more here. Drake London at minus 165 versus George Pickens.
The problem is minus 165.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane juice. Yeah. Can't do that.
I would still take London because I think that
right, hey, but you're paying so much to do it. Yeah. That's insane.
So let me give you this one. And
I just
want to
win.
And I'll give you the last one. Chris Olave and DK Metcalf.
Oh, dear God. Wow. The thought of needing Spencer Rattler at quarterback potentially at some point this year versus guy who hates his life in Seattle and may kill Geno Smith. I'll go Olave.
I think he will just actually kill whoever if they don't throw him the ball.
Give me DK. He's so scary. He is. The video of him chasing down Budda Baker is like Michael Myers in the movie Halloween. This ominous killer is just running after you, and you're oh my God.
When I see DK, I immediately go back to just Debo from Friday. Where you hide your chains, Debo's coming. That's DK.
Final one here.
Yeah.
Both at minus 115. Yeah. Xavier Worthy, Jackson Smith, and Jigba.
I'm going to go JSN. Second year in the league versus first year. I think Lockett probably ends up sliding to be the third there. JSN is an outstanding route runner. Great hands. Worthy is a one-trick pony. It's going to be all nine routes.
Mm-hmm.
And he weighs like 160 pounds. I'm going to go JSN.
I love this. Because we didn't agree on one.
What are you talking about?
Give me Worthy because Seattle's bringing in a defensive-minded coach.
How dare you not agree?
Who basically saw at Michigan, if we run the ball a lot, we can win. They'll turn around, they'll hand it off to K-9. No, I think Worthy is going to be the deep threat in Kansas City. Yes, he does.
We're going to do this again in the future with quarterback passing yards and rushing yards. That is In Football Today. Yes, we're going to NFL, but we're going betting odds for the NFL.
Oh, there is news today, but we can do that at 5 o'clock. That's fine. Go ahead.
So what we're going to do here, DraftKings has the betting odds for NFL receiving yards, but it's head-to-head.
Oh, so like a golf tournament.
Exactly. So,
oh, man, this is where you're rooting for rolled-up ankles.
So we have, in this matchup, we have Justin Jefferson versus Ja'Marr Chase.
Chase.
Both are minus 110.
Chase, you've got Sam Darnold throwing passes.
That has changed since this came out,
But hold on. This is interesting. Let me back up a second. Last year, Kirk Cousins got hurt what week? Nick Mullins.
I think it was in the middle of the year, so like week 8.
So Nick Mullins takes over. What were JJ's numbers? They weren't that far off, were they?
He got hurt as well, too, though. So that messed his numbers up, but he was still hitting when he was playing with Mullen.
That's what I mean. So that's actually not as, you know what? These damn sports books, they're sharp. Mm. If it looks too easy, it is. Maybe you do the reverse of the reverse psychology.
Mm.
JJ.
No.
Okay. I tried to sell it for you.
You're still going Ja'Marr?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to sell
it. That's fair. Let's go to the next matchup.
Was there.
All right, let's go to the next matchup here. Amon-Ra St. Brown at minus 125 versus A.J. Brown at plus 100.
Oh, my God. Man. Oh, God.
I feel like Mike, ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. I feel like Amon-Ra, he'll play hurt, which he proved last year. He's good for at least 1,100 yards. Philly's got a lot going on. I'm not totally so. You know what? Amon-Ra. That's my guy.
See, to me, I know we can't do push because you're thinking there's another. Each has another receiver who could potentially take away a lot of catches. I'm going to go AJ simply because the Eagles don't have a tight end that can steal receptions away from him. So that's why. It's not saying that Amon-Ra is good. It's just he's going to have fewer opportunities, I believe.
And later on, we will get to the other receiver in Philadelphia as well as the tight end in Detroit. But let's get to this matchup first. Old versus new. Marvin Harrison Jr. at minus 110. Well, they're both minus 110 versus Davante Adams.
This is okay.
You know what?
Can I just do the PSA that if you're betting these, you probably got to call the number? This is way too much stress. Over 18 weeks. Oh, my God. Can you imagine watching the head-to-head? It's like a bad version of fantasy football.
I'm going to go with
Marvin. I'm going to watch this team.
I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Really?
Yes, because you know it's going to be Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray sees him as an opportunity to actually belong in the NFL and not get broomed out. Okay. They're going to throw the ball. Chances are the Cardinals are going to be down a lot, so they're going to be out there playing, 707 football.
He keeps knocking them. I think the Cardinals are going to be sneaky.
No, they are.
They're going to be sneaky.
But they always seem to fall apart, and in the fourth quarter, it's just at
their
that point.
Their first halves last year were amazing, and then second half, death.
Yeah, so whereas with the Raiders, look, I do think that there's a little bit of a quarterback controversy there.
Oh, God.
And I don't believe in the Raiders offense.
Okay. All right, I'll go Marvin Harrison Jr.
Outside of Adams' first few years in the league, he got hurt in 2019, but outside of that, he hasn't had under 1,300 yards last year. So I stand corrected. Let's move on to the next matchup. Alabama versus Alabama. Jalen Waddle versus Devontae Smith.
I'll go
both at -110.
I'll go Slim Reaper. Waddle gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like either of these. These are unfair. I choose Texas. These are difficult, man.
Waddle or
Smith. Devontae Smith.
Smith.
That's the Slim other receiver. Reaper.
Smith.
I'm so gonna go, even yeah. though you said in the other one how you got A.J. Brown there.
Because
now.
David, the best ability is availability.
And then I got a root like A.J. True. Brown's knee starts barking, so he gets more targets. This is maniacal.
That is fair. Let's move over to a tight end matchup here. Sam Laporta at -125 versus Travis Kelce.
Laporta.
+100.
Laporta is the best tight end in the NFL. Kelsey's old. He's about to be engaged to the most famous woman on the planet. Unfocused. Can't do it. Laporta.
I'm going to go Kelce.
No. He's negotiating a prenup right now. You think he has time for crossing routes?
Wait, who's negotiating the prenup? Her or him?
Both. I read the New York papers today.
They each got it.
Because
yeah.
right now she's like, oh, that's cute. You know what? You could pay the cable bill.
Hey, have your people call my people. He right. don't have time for a playbook.
You want to fit in? Okay, you could pay the cable bill and the phone bill. I'll handle the rest. That's cute, your little NFL money. This is probably how Tom Brady felt.
Taylor's giving him a WIC card.
Right. Like, here's your allowance. Go buy some beer. Go hang out with the fellas. Because they don't have receivers in Kansas City, he's going to be really the main target.
Any thought to age, though? Man, he's old.
No, because they're okay. No, Mike, yes. If he played on an average team, yeah, but they're on a mission to show we want to keep this thing together as long as possible, because when it falls apart, they're looking at the New England Patriots saying this is what Kansas City will look like in a few years.
You keep the airline, Miles. All right, go ahead.
You keep the plane.
I love these. Let me give you a couple more here. Drake London at -165 versus George Pickens.
The problem is -165.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane juice. Yeah. Can't do that.
Let's move over.
Take London because I think that.
Right, hey, but you're paying so much to do it. Yeah. That's insane.
So let me give you this one. And
I
then
just
I'll
want
give to you,
win.
And I'll give you the last one. Chris Olave and DK Metcalf.
Oh, dear God. Wow. The thought of needing Spencer Rattler at quarterback potentially at some point this year versus guy who hates his life in Seattle and may kill Geno Smith. I'll go Olave.
I think he will just actually kill whoever if they don't throw him the ball. Give me DK.
He's so scary. He is. The video of him chasing down Buda Baker is like Michael Myers in the movie Halloween. This ominous killer is just running after you, and you're oh, my God.
When I see DK, I immediately go back to just Debo from Friday. Where you hide your chains, Debo's coming. That's DK.
Final one here.
Yeah.
Both at -115. Yeah. Xavier Worthy, Jackson Smith, and Jigba.
I'm going to go JSN. Second year in the league versus first year. I think Lockett probably ends up sliding to be the third there. JSN is an outstanding route runner. Great hands. Worthy is a one-trick pony. It's going to be all nine routes.
Mm-hmm.
And he weighs like 160 pounds. I'm going to go JSN.
I love this. Because we didn't agree on one.
What are you talking about?
Give me Worthy because Seattle's bringing in a defensive-minded coach.
How dare you not agree?
Who basically saw at Michigan, if we run the ball a lot, we can win. They'll turn around, they'll hand it off to K-9. No, I think Worthy is going to be the deep threat in Kansas City. Yes, he does.
We're going to do this again in the future with quarterback passing yards and rushing yards. That is In Football Today.